Another season's greetings, one and all. Welcome back to another week of Holly Jolly Christmas Cheer. I am Chauncey.
And I am Jesco. And we are back once again as your hillbilly holiday hosts.
If you tuned in last week, you would know that we come to you this month with a very specific holiday objective.
Yes. Chauncey and I are working our way through the book Sleeping in Your Debunk Bed by Herman Perfunctorious, which is a month-by-month challenge to try and prove or disprove the mysteries of the universe.
And because it is December, we are full steam ahead on trying to prove the existence of Santa Claus. Though scientific evidence suggests it not so, we are here holding to a small glimmer of hope.
Quite right. And we intend to achieve our goal by speaking to the fine folks of our community who claim to be eyewitnesses to the presence of Kris Kringle.
This week we have brought in quite the eccentric fellow. This person was driving the limousine Bernesto used last week to get to our studio, which seemed excessive because he only lives a few trailers down. Anywho, we got to talking about this show, and he told us he recently had his own run-in with Papa Christmas.
Needless to say, we were excited to bring him on. So without further ado, please welcome to the show, Demetrius Delamitri.
Ho, ho, ho to you, Jessica and Chauncey. Tree of League semester to you and yours.
Yes, and end of school semester to you, too.
Chauncey, you don't speak Swedish?
No, I can't say that I do.
Language of love, understand what I'm saying? It means happy holidays.
Demetrius, you seem to have a thirst for knowledge that is awe-inspiring. Are you a world-conscious person?
Oh, yes. I'm very much into different cuisines and foreign-language TV shows. I've worked plenty of jobs, and they have all definitely informed my worldview. I have also learned a lot about different cultures from my time in prison.
Wait, what? You served time?
Oh, yeah. Just a little bit, though.
Okay. But you're fine now, correct?
Yeah, of course. I didn't do nothing bad or nothing. No need to clutch your pearls.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Before we move on, why don't you tell our listeners about some of your other work experience? I can imagine it, runs the gamut. Yes, making license plates or picking up trash on the side of the road, perhaps?
Huh? No. It actually is more wholesome than that. I actually used to work with kids. They even saw me as a big brother type.
Oh. I don't know how I feel about that. Was this before or after jail?
Both.
What? I mean, please elaborate.
I didn't do nothing nefarious or nothing to land me in prison, guys. Just a case of mistaken identity, understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Still.
Anyway, I used to work maintenance at a summer camp. My real dream was to be a camp counselor. Then I was a custodian at a bank. I actually had a mishap with a floor buffer and got electrocuted pretty badly. Became magnetized there for a bit.
Dear Lord. Okay, let's move on to your experiences.
Then from there, that's when I actually landed in prison. Things got pretty hairy there for a sec, and they even took me to the electric chair.
What the?
No, it wasn't that bad. The little electric mishap from my custodian job made me some kind of electrical conductor, so rather than killing me, it gave me the power to shoot lightning.
Shoot lightning? Like an X-Man? Can you demonstrate for us now?
No. Once I switched jobs, that little plot point was dropped. Then I got my commercial driver's license, moved to a different town, and got a job driving a garbage truck.
Well, that sounds pretty stable.
Well, sometimes I get a little too distracted, forget to pick up the garbage. I also got stuck in the trash compactor and almost got crushed.
No offense, Demetrius, but I don't understand how you keep getting employed.
Then I unwittingly spoke an ancient incantation to awake an evil troll who turned the neighborhood kids into wooden dolls.
Okay, I think we've heard enough.
I changed them back.
All right. Let's regroup here. Demetrius, you were telling us the other day about a run-in you had with a person who you were convinced was Santa Claus, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Although I have to warn your listeners, their view of jolly old St. Nick may change drastically after I describe what I heard and saw.
Well, I'm sure it can't be that bad. Tell us about it.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, I was dispatched to pick up a group of partygoers at a popular nightclub. I pulled up to the front entrance and saw a bevy of bombshells approaching my vehicle.
Oh boy, that's every man's dream right there.
Yes, quite right. And I don't have the most bountiful romantic history. For them, it's never been the right time to roll to me. Understand what I'm saying?
Oh yes.
Needless to say, I didn't know what to think. Just then, I noticed they were followed by a flashy gentleman in a red tuxedo, and the ladies seemed to be quite taken with him. The group approached the limo, and he opened the back door for them.
Well, so far he sounds like a perfect gentleman, which doesn't surprise me. Wonder where Mrs. Claus was, though.
I was wondering the same thing. So when he finally got in, I asked him straight up, "Excuse me, but are you Santa Claus?" And after a few moments, he said, "Yeah, I'm Santa Claus, and these are my elves," gesturing towards the ladies. "Isn't that right, girls? You want to help Santa make some toys? You're going to give Santa the Christmas cookie, hmm?"
Oh, well, I'm not sure I like that.
Then I asked him, where's Mrs. Claus? And with a twinkle in his eye, he winked, raised a finger to his lips, and went, "Shh," just like in the old pictures of him. Then he raised the privacy screen up so they could play some reindeer games.
Ugh, I am shocked and appalled by his behavior. What kind of messed up Norman Rockwell painting is this?
Yeah, I was a little rattled, to say the least. The rest of the drive, I just heard things about jingle balls and stuff about "you'll love my log" and something about stripping the peppermint off a candy cane.
Okay, I've heard enough. Thank you, Demetrius.
Pretty sure he has to see the elves' mistletoes.
Thank you, Demetrius. We don't need to hear any more.
Moral of the story is, don't meet your heroes, understand what I'm saying?
Yes, we read you loud and clear.
I got other stories, too.
No, that won't be necessary. Please run along before you ruin the Easter Bunny for us, too.
It was lovely to be a guest on your show.
Well, I wish we could say the same. Anyway, this week the guys discussed the wholesome holiday tale of the lovable Ernest P. Worrell teaming up with a teenage runaway to help an aging Santa Claus find his replacement. It's Ernest Saves Christmas. Stay tuned, because the Radcast will be right back.
Oh, Christmas tree,
we now return.
Oh, Christmas tree,
to the Radcast.
Oh, Christmas tree.
Demetrius.
It's like the band Delamitri
that did the song "Roll to Me."
Yeah, exactly. You hear a little bit of a reference in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. Yeah. I'm Steven.
I'm Matt.
And we are continuing with our holiday-centric shows, more specifically, as we pointed out in week one. We're talking more about Christmas. However, those of you that are listening and celebrate something else, we appreciate
it. Hopefully you have a good holiday
season. Good whatever it is, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Bodhi Day, whatever it is, whatever they said last week. We appreciate it. We hope you have a good one.
Yes.
And we hope you have a good one. Yeah. We don't have to say more than that.
What I noticed was Mr. Demetrius, his work history sounded vaguely similar to a man we're talking about today.
Yes, it's on very close to the professional exploits of one Ernest P.
Ernest P. Worrell,
who, if you know the both of us, you know, although in a lot of his movies, his interactions and just solely being around children characters through a 2023 context and scope is problematic. However, it is more than innocent.
His character is so, like, lovable and sweet and good-hearted. Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't help but feel it's nothing but innocent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the last time we talked about an Ernest movie was back 5 weeks of our first 5 weeks of Fright, when we talked about Ernest Scared Stupid. And in that movie, Eartha Kitt's character pointed out and made it the audience, you know, aware to it.
The heart of a child.
Heart of a child.
Yeah.
And a mother's care.
A mother's care. Yeah.
But thank you all for listening this week, and thank you all for listening last week.
Yeah.
Another man. First of all, it was a great, got off hot. Yeah, it was a great episode with our mom. We appreciated her coming on, having a special Christmas six mix.
Yeah.
You know, she had a great time. We hope you all had a great time listening.
Yeah.
Another
successful
six mix. Yeah. And we love it. We love that format. And I know we've said it before, but we are just super excited to carry that into 2024.
Yep.
We're going to be doubling down.
That was our last one of 2023.
Yes. Yeah. But we are continuing on with Christmas shows. Ernest Saves Christmas is what we're talking about.
Yes. And boy, did he.
Did he ever save Christmas? So Ernest Saves Christmas, celebrating...
Know what I mean?
Know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know what I mean? For those of you who didn't pick up on what's his face.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Demetrius's little catchphrase.
Why shroud that in mystery? I wrote him as a ripoff of Ernest.
It's blatant, for those of you that didn't pick up on it. It's blatant. Yeah. But you're a smart audience, and you probably, if you're familiar with Ernest, you picked up on it.
Yeah.
But Ernest Saves Christmas, celebrating its 35th anniversary this year, November 11th, 1988, is when it was released, directed by John Cherry, who is synonymous with the Ernest
character.
Him
and Ernest go together like peanut butter and cherry.
Exactly. Starring the incomparable Jim Varney.
Incredible Jim Varney.
You know how much we love it. These Ernest movies, it showcases just how great of a character actor
I earnestly love them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just genuinely hilarious. Yeah. Some, like the anti-character.
Yeah.
But starring Jim Varney as Ernest P. Worrell. Douglas Seal as Santa, who he was the voice of Jasmine's father in Aladdin. Oliver Clark as Joe Carruthers. He's Principal Warblard from Full House. He was also in an episode of Night Court. As a home invader.
Yes.
As like a shaky home invader. Yeah. He had never done it before.
It's a funny episode.
Yes. But another Night Court reference.
Yeah.
Noel Parker as Harmony. Gaylord Sartan as Chuck. Bill Burge or Byers as Bobby. Billy Bird as Mary, which she's one of those. Oh, yeah. She's in stuff.
She's got a whole shoebox full of them. Dangly ones.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
And so many other. And 16 Candles.
Yeah.
Dong, Grandpa's talking to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And Robert Lesser is Marty Brock, who Robert Lesser was in another Christmas classic from 1988, Die Hard. At the beginning, Fist With Your Toes.
Which I always forget until I watch it, that actor has a wonky left eye.
Yep, and once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Can't look away. It's fixated on it.
Yes, with Buddy Douglas as Pyramus, who's one of the elves.
Oh, yeah.
And Patty Maloney as Thisbe, another elf.
Weren't they the two of the original Munchkins from Wizard of Oz?
No, they...
I thought they were.
Now, Patty Maloney, I think, was born in 1937, so she was two when Wizard of Oz came out.
Yeah.
And Buddy Douglas would have been had to have been 10 years old if he were in it.
Yeah.
Patty Maloney, though, played Lumpy in the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, that's where I know her from.
Yep, full costume from the Holiday Special.
Is that the gal from Ernest Saves Christmas?
Is that Patty Maloney? Is that you, Patty?
I think that's Patty. Patty, bark twice if it's you.
Yes.
Because she's a Wookiee.
Yeah, and also you're talking in 2023 to something that was made in the late 70s. I don't think she can hear me.
No.
So box office, $28.2 million on a $6.5 million budget, the highest grossing Ernest movie. And of course, back to what was on the VHS.
It'd be funny if someone who's in this movie, that's their claim to fame. I was in an Ernest movie, the highest grossing Ernest movie.
Yes. So I think you should cast me, Mr. Scorsese.
Yeah, exactly.
Right alongside Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
What was on the VHS? Coming to theaters, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which that's a connection with our six mix with our good pal Joe Gilbert.
Yeah.
And on VHS from Touchstone Pictures, Turner and Hooch.
Ah, yes.
Yes. So we've
Tom Hanks and the Dog.
Tom Hanks and the Dog. I just listened to Tom Hanks on Rick Rubin's podcast. One of Rick Rubin's podcasts. Yeah. Captivating. The whole 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It's almost 2 hours.
Very good.
It's very good. It's super compelling the whole time. I could listen to Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Talk about almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
We've been pretty big fans of Ernest, especially in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Like, we grew up watching, mm-hmm. or Ernest Things being on television.
Yeah.
This was on, like, Ernest Saves Christmas was on TV. And I remember as a kid, bits and pieces and watching it. Same with Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until our 20s when we actually, like, sat down and watched these movies and just...
they're great.
Just a love of the character of Ernest P. Worrell, a love for Jim Varney.
Yep.
And at that time, though, when we started watching the Ernest movies, you and I, mainly you and then Jeremy Weed contributed a little bit.
Yeah.
We came up with a long list of Ernest movie titles.
Like, just the most absurd things.
It was so absurd, and we shared it with a few people,
and
it was some of them just had, still to this day, if I think about it, it had me rolling with laughter, just howling. The only issue is, when changing phones, like the phone I had in, like, 2015, when we were making them, to, like, to now, I've gone through a few phones after that. I lost them. I had them in a note. I thought I sent them, like, emailed them myself so I could put them on a new phone.
Yeah.
I lost them. And it stinks that it's lost the time. However, I took a few minutes today.
There we go.
To come up with a few Ernest movie titles.
Some of these were probably on that list.
Oh, yeah. Some of them from what I remember, especially the last one, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
So the first one is... Ernest Goes to Hell, which alternatively, when it was about Halloween time, we were like Ernest versus Jason,
which I think is a YouTube edit, like on YouTube. I'm pretty sure someone's made that.
Or
maybe it's just we conceptualized it so much that we think that it's a real thing.
Maybe it's just because I'm biased, but I think we conceptualized it so much that we saw it so much in our head that maybe we're convinced that.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah.
This is a new one. I don't think I came up with this one 10 years ago. Ernest vs. Al Qaeda.
Ernest vs. Al Qaeda. He does, like, a cowardly, I'll fight you with one hand behind my back. I'll fight you with my eyes closed.
He's in a tank. It's, wah!
Yeah. Which in the Ernest goes in the army now, Ernest or whatever. Yeah, Ernest goes in the army. Yeah, that was a real thing.
Mm-hmm. That was the 90s.
Yeah.
This one's definitely new. Ernest on OnlyFans.
Ernest gets an OnlyFans.
People really like the feet pictures, know what I mean?
Know what I mean? Ernest gets an OnlyFans.
Ernest Bangs a Hooker was one that
was one of them.
I think Jeremy came up with that one. Overdose Ernest.
Overdose.
Ernest joins a biker gang. Ernest has an accident.
It could literally be anything.
Ernest eats dog shit. One of the things that sells it.
Ernest eats dog shit.
One of the things that sells it.
That's a whole movie.
I don't feel too good, Vern. One of the things that sells it for me is it's the cadence and the rhythm of, like, the title. It can't just be.
Sometimes it's Ernest does this or da 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 Ernest.
Yeah, and there's like
slam dunk Ernest.
There was always a rhythm to the title, so that's one of the things that sells it and I think makes it funny.
It's dog shit.
Ernest is a snitch.
Yeah.
Snuff film Ernest. Finally, my personal favorite.
Ernest
drinks bleach.
Ernest drinks bleach.
That one was a huge hit with people. We'd send that to Ernest drinks bleach.
Ernest eats dog shit.
This movie, though, there's a lot of magic and whimsy to it.
Ernest,
I mean,
versus Al Qaeda.
You're taking the innocence
of
Ernest P. Worrell. You're taking the sweet, good-hearted nature, the charm of Ernest, and you're putting it in
a Christmas setting.
A Christmas setting. For the most part, a magical, charming time of year for a lot of people.
And I like that he's... Like, there's a central story, and Ernest is, like, just, like, almost a side character.
That's because it was an original script that wasn't an Ernest movie.
Yeah.
And Ernest was shoehorned in. However, he meshes very well.
So well.
Because, like, Santa's not going to entrust a child to help him, yeah. although, like, that's happened in movies yeah. before. So it's, like, so many times.
The Santa Claus?
Yeah, exactly. He's not going to... Santa Claus is there in Florida because he's looking for his replacement because yeah. he's becoming so forgetful. He even says in the movie, you know, I shouldn't have to rely
on taking notes
on who yeah. on what these children want, who these children right. are. It's showcased a few times the mistakes he's made. The past play money.
Yeah.
Like he gives a child the year before, he
gives them real money.
Yeah, real money instead of like, you know, a lot of money and play money with yeah. like this play set. So it's all these ways that you're showcasing who he is. And another thing is it's people misinterpreting like him. Like he's being straight up. Like he's not trying to be coy saying I'm Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And people don't believe him. So mm-hmm. it's all this like nobody believes him.
Thanks, Skippy.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Skippy. And then yeah. thanks, Skippy.
Yeah.
Which we quote with Jeremy all the yeah. time.
Thanks, Skippy.
The thing of it is the funny part is Santa's trying to convince all these people that he's Santa Claus, mm-hmm. and then, like, Ernest is the only one who believes him.
Right, because he's got the heart of a child.
Yeah, exactly, and Ernest, you know, he's a hayseed. You know,
yeah.
He's simple.
Santa even says, Ernest is a good boy, not very bright.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he isn't, like, savvy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's resourceful.
He's resourceful. You go to his house and we see his house and he's got all these like
very like much like a Pee Wee Herman yeah. kind of mm-hmm. setting.
Yeah. But the funny thing to me is there's so many times in the movie. It's on Disney Plus, by the way. I actually just thought about it. Yeah, it's the only Ernest
I watched it on Freevee.
Well, it's the only movie. Well, you watch it for free, so yeah, that's fine.
With ads.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have the DVD.
Yeah.
And for those of you that want to watch it, it's the only Ernest movie on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So you can watch it on Disney Plus. I instantly, as we were talking, I remember Samantha, our sister, she listens to these and she likes to watch or rewatch we're talking about. It's on Disney Plus. But Santa does himself no favors and he keeps kind of like hitting brick walls in a way mm-hmm. because he keeps trying to convince people. Nobody believes him. And then in the moments
except the prisoners.
Yeah, the prisoners.
Santa gets taken to jail. Santa goes yeah. to jail,
and he's there overnight, and nobody like.
He really is Santa Claus.
But before he teaches them all, you know, how to sing like a choir with yeah. Christmas carols, who knows what could have happened in that 24-hour period of time?
Oh yeah, he gets arrested because. We'll backtrack.
Yeah,
well, let's go through the plot again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Santa lands in Florida, and he's wanting to find his replacement, this guy Joe Carruthers, who had yeah. like a
Mr. Rogers
type show.
Yeah.
And
he really understands children mm-hmm. and he's really pure of heart and yeah. like he's Santa's pick, yeah. which Santa says like over the years I've had lists of thousands of people mm-hmm. and slowly but surely so many of them have dropped off for several different reasons, to which I would want to know
what the reasons were. Things came out about them.
Yeah.
They died.
Yeah. They were having a little fun back in the back of a limousine.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Santa Claus.
Hey, it was the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Santa Claus and Demetrius' story.
Yeah, I didn't even write it that way, but hey, that's...
Whatever.
Hey, whatever.
But yeah, it's all those instances. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, what happened to those Santas?
I want to know why some of these candidates were eliminated.
I would think some of them probably just died. Because in this movie,
yeah.
Santa Claus, like when he's at the police station, he's like, I'm 151 years old.
God damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
Show me some respect.
Show me some respect. I'm your elder. I am the elder.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the elder by Kiss.
Yeah, exactly.
But he talks about also, he talks to Joe how it could have also been in a time to where years earlier he should have found a replacement,
right.
but he said, I just loved it too much.
Yeah.
Which is to his detriment now because
yeah.
he's starting to become forgetful, so he almost has to find a replacement.
It's like an athlete that sticks around a little too yeah. long mm-hmm. in their respective sport.
Yeah. So Santa Claus is at the airport. He's on a mission to find Joe Carruthers. Fast forward, you know, while Santa's there, Ernest is a taxi driver saying,
yeah.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree.
And it makes me laugh every time. And he's doing these mannerisms mm-hmm. and stuff, very Ernesty mannerisms.
That's the biggest thing. The character yeah. of Ernest with his mannerisms, the way he says things when mm-hmm. he's like,
That's it. Yuck it up.
Yeah, he says that to a bunch of fifth graders. Mm, and he's, like, he gets in their face. He's like, that's it. Yuck it up.
Because they're laughing at him for saying, I'm looking for Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He happens to be a close personal friend of mine.
And then, like, the faces, his nonverbals, the faces he makes, his reactions.
Yeah.
There's so much to love about the character. Yeah, like, there's so much to love about the
character. Ew. Ooh, party punch. Mm. Superb.
But there's so much to love about the character of Ernest. And we see some of those attributes as he's driving this businessman to the airport. And although I love Ernest, so much of what he does causes me stress and anxiety.
There is no reason he should still be getting employed.
Yeah.
He is so bad at every job he does.
Yeah.
But it's funny, but also he's very bad at it.
Yeah, I get it. It's one of those things where, like, he's a sweet guy, but horrible employee.
Yeah. Just awful.
Mm-hmm. But he, like, he pulls up to the airport, and at this point, he has been, like,
been a crazy driver.
A demon at the wheel, as Rob Zombie would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Creature at the wheel, sorry. Yeah. But he's, you know, he's been like a speed demon. He's
like, hold on, I'll get you to the airport just in time. And the person in the back seat is like frozen in fear. Mm-hmm. He's like, hold on, sir, I'll get you to the airport.
He's sliding around, he flies out of the back passenger side, and he's like, that's right, you gotta wear your seatbelt. And he puts him back in the car, and he like pulls up to a spot in the airport to where you can't park, and Ernest is like, here, I'll help you, mister. And he's like trying to pull the guy's stuff out of the trunk, and he rips the guy's carry-on bag.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, here you go, picking up all this stuff that dropped. He's like, all right, I'll get you there. And he causes, he's a tornado of destruction.
Yeah.
A lovable tornado of destruction, but he is just, he's
unknowingly just completely causing wreckage to everyone around him.
Yeah, and then Santa and Ernest's paths cross when Ernest is running from people who work at the airport, trying to be like, hey, you can't park here, and get that guy, and blah, blah, because he almost
it's
runs.
It's okay. I'm a limo driver.
Is that exactly. Yeah. And then Ernest gets in the taxi and drives Santa around, and then they run into, then they cross paths with a runaway who calls herself Harmony Star, however, named Pamela, which we later find
before
out.
That, when he's driving Santa, a truck full of Christmas trees is driving by them. One falls off, and Ernest completely stops traffic, puts so many people in danger just so he can grab the Christmas tree, and that shows Santa that this guy's got Christmas spirit.
Yeah, his dashboard's all decked.
Yeah,
his dashboard's all decked out with Christmas stuff.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, you need a Christmas tree? No, I already got one, but I got a friend that might, and that's Vern.
Yeah, later on.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because he's like, you know, you look like someone. He's like, Santa Claus. I bet you get that a lot because I am him. Because you am him.
Yeah, because you am him.
And he believes it.
Yeah.
But there's a little tinge of doubt until he looks in because Santa has his Christmas bag with him, and it's a magic bag.
It's him.
Yeah, it really is him.
Yeah.
But then they run into this, you know, 16, 17-year-old runaway, Harmony, who she's trying to skip out on having
pathological liar.
Yeah, exactly. Always making up stories. She's like, you see my brother, he always does this. Like, he always comes in and eats, and then he runs away.
He's like, I gotta go to the bathroom. He leaves me with the check, the money that I don't have.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, hey, he's over there. And then she distracts the waiter, and she runs away. So, yeah, she does that several times during the film.
Because
she's a runaway. Ooh, she's a little runaway. Daddy's girl and fast, all those things you shouldn't say. Ooh, she's a little runaway.
Dun 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 dun.
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
It's Bon Jovi before Slippery When Wet.
Yeah.
With all the hits.
All the hits.
Anyway, for those of you that are still tuned in. So they run into her, and then
she doesn't believe in Santa Claus.
No, she doesn't believe in Santa Claus. And essentially Santa is just, he's wanting to get to Joe Carruthers.
Yeah.
And finally he gets to the Florida Children's Museum, and that's where Billy Bird is.
Yeah.
And then he starts talking to Joe because Joe's show has been canceled.
Yeah.
And Joe's just does performances for kids at the Children's Museum.
Yeah.
And then we see
a puppet show. He does puppet shows behind a screen to where you can see him. So, what's the point of the puppet show?
Yeah, exactly. Just what's the point of puppet shows?
I'll say.
Yeah. But anyway, so, and one of the things is, too, Santa's like, do you know Joe Carruthers? And he's like, can't say that I do. He had this show, and he's like, Oh, yes, they never get old. They always stay new. Those three little words, please and thank you. Hey! But he gets to the children's museum, and he's talking with Joe, but then Joe's agent, this hotshot 80s yuppie.
Yeah.
Who,
Joe, baby, we got a got a big movie role for you.
Yeah, exactly. Who his agent's
got
like,
a wonky eye.
Yeah, it's like the guy from Die Hard. You know what I say? Helps fist with your toes.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, Joe, you know, don't listen to this guy. Who is this guy? I don't like him a lot. And he's like, I'm Santa. Listen, Mr. Santos.
Yeah.
But he's talking with him because Joe lost the show. So his agent, who gets paid if Joe gets paid, is like, we got you a movie. Got you a movie, a Christmas film called Santa Sleigh.
Yeah, which ends up being a horror movie.
Which ends up being a horror movie.
But Santa Sleigh.
Not the Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, exactly.
Santa Sleigh. And then it's just a quest of, the whole movie is just a quest of Santa, you know.
Santa needs to get to Joe Carruthers.
Yeah, exactly. And, but he keeps, like, he finds himself in prison.
Or he needs to convince Joe Carruthers. Because Joe's like, listen, I'm sorry, like, I don't know what you want me to do. He doesn't believe he's Santa Claus. He's like, he's in between a rock and a hard place. He just lost his job. He needs movie roles. And then he's like, I don't know. It's a
then this stranger keeps blathering about how you know, I'm Santa and now you're Santa.
Yeah.
And when he finally gets it out, because originally he can't get it out to Joe because he keeps getting interrupted by Joe's agent, and then Joe leaves. Mm-hmm. He has a meeting,
and meanwhile Ernest and Harmony are trying to, because that's why I wanted us to backtrack, because the agent gets Santa taken to jail because he's like, he's just a senile old man.
Yeah.
Like, and in jail, he's teaching, like, he taught the prisoners, like, Christmas carols and stuff like that. And
not before they stretch his anus.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That even says, like, can I teach you Christmas carols? We're going to stretch your anus first.
On one condition.
Yeah.
But while
you really are Santa Claus. His anus is shaped like a snowflake.
I told you that before. You didn't need to put me through the ringer. But while Santa is going through his hardship, Ernest gets fired from his taxi job because he...
Unsurprisingly.
Well, at first he asked Santa, he's like, that'll be $32.50. And he's like, oh, I gave... I only have this. I don't usually carry money. It's no good to me here. But all he had was play money.
Yeah.
And Ernest is like, you know what? Christmas holiday. Rides on the house.
Yeah.
Like something like that. And then Ernest gets fired because of it. Because apparently
gets fired is another Ernest movie.
Well, that's
all Ernest.
That's all the Ernest movies. They could be secondary titles. Ernest gets fired.
Yeah.
Ernest joins an OnlyFans. Ernest gets fired. Kept showing his face. The whole time, like, Ernest gets fired. He has Harmony with him.
Yeah.
And Harmony's like, you should have stuck up to that guy. If you would have just told him, Ernest, or you got to stop being like a doormat for people, Ernest, and you got to stop being charitable, Ernest.
Yeah.
And Ernest pretty much tells her, like, you know,
that's Christmas, baby.
That's Christmas. And like, oh, you know, it's you can't get through life being so cynical. Just stuff like that.
Yeah.
He didn't say that directly.
Yeah.
But Santa leaves his bag inside Ernest's cab. So
Ernest has to get his bag back to Santa.
Yeah, exactly. And Harmony and Ernest end up taking, you know, a little side mission here. Is Harmony and Ernest take the Christmas tree to the Vern.
Probably my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, Vern. And then it gets slammed in his face.
Vern, for those of you who don't know, Ernest started off as like a character in commercials. Mm-hmm. Like local commercials.
It was
like
all across like the Tennessee area, parts of the South.
Yeah,
like John Cherry.
Yeah,
created Ernest for like an advertising company.
And Ernest, there was a character named Vern who you never saw, but it was like a POV of Vern.
Yeah,
Ernest was the POV of Vern.
Mm-hmm.
So Ernest would be wreaking havoc on Vern's life. Like, know what I mean, Vern? Or he'd be like, check out this thing. Vern is, and he's like, oh, sorry, Vern. And he would like destroy stuff around him. And
nothing like Bluebell ice cream, Vern.
Yeah, exactly.
Like stuff like that.
And usually in the commercial, Vern would be the victim of Ernest's incompetence.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you like, you can look them up on YouTube. I think every commercial's on YouTube.
Yeah.
In a compilation, so you don't have to go searching.
Yeah. So this is the only Ernest movie with Vern in it.
Yeah,
isn't it?
The one where they acknowledge Vern.
Yes.
Like there was a show in the early 90s called Hey Vern, it's Ernest, which was not like Pee-wee's Playhouse with like the of course not like Pee-wee, but it would have like these little like side skits or like characters or kind of like a lot of early 90s shit. Like Bill Nye the Science Guy would do, Beekman's World would do.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. So it was a show like that had a little cartoon segments or little like characters specific to the show.
Yeah. But this movie, Vern is in this scene, it's Vern's point of view and it's Ernest like, ho, Vern, he slams the door on him. And then basically it's like an extended Ernest commercial where he's going and just like destroying Vern. So I was like, I got you a tree. And he's like pulling out electrical sockets and stuff. And he's like, drinking his.
Yeah. See, the problem is, Vern, you got to connect the shooter. You know, he's the whole time he's pulling. And those parts are stressful for me as well.
Yeah.
But however, you know, Ernest makes up for it.
They're like, oh, holiday punch. You know,
and Harmony's like, are those bacon cheeseburgers?
Yeah,
stuff like that.
So, very fun scene of the movie.
It is. It's a harkens back to the Vern character, references Vern, which a lot of the audience would be familiar with if they're familiar with the Ernest commercials.
Yeah.
But while Ernest is going out to his truck, he looks in Santa's bag and he sees it's magic. Pretty much,
there's children's laughter.
Yeah, and exactly.
That's where Santa keeps the kids.
Yeah, like the beginning of a Kenny Loggins song.
Yeah,
but that's where Santa keeps the kids. I just realized that's what you said. But it's pretty much, you know, you pull out gifts.
Yeah.
Like Mary Poppins' bag.
Yeah.
But you know, Santa is in prison, and Ernest and Harmony find out that, you know, Santa's been in prison because it's on the news. Not really.
Yeah, exactly.
But Santa's in prison, like his fingerprints have snowflakes in them.
Yeah.
And it's still
not his anus.
Yeah. It's still not clicking to people that maybe he's right. Nobody believes him. And then we see Ernest, Jim Varney go into a different character.
Yeah. In the Ernest movies, he, can't remember. He doesn't do it in like camp.
I don't think so.
But Ernest goes to jail, he does, right?
He does it. Ernest Scared Stupid.
He pulls out these characters, these funny characters, to showcase Jim Varney's versatility.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just silly characters to, like, help him gain access to things. Yeah. Or, like, in Ernest Scared Stupid, he uses them to motivate kids and stuff like that. In this particular movie, he uses them to gain access to, like, the prison or the...
The agent.
The agent's office, you know.
So in this instance, he comes to the prison as like a government worker, and then
he's like a correctional facility task force.
Yeah,
he's real prim and proper.
Yeah,
like Clements.
Uptight, nasally, like hair slicked back. Oh, let me ask you something, like stuff like
you claim to be Santa Claus,
almost like a Jim Backus, like
whatever happened to an old fashioned,
from Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island,
but it's very like uptight and snobby.
Yeah,
he's excellent.
He's so good.
It's so funny. And then Harmony is with him and she's in pigtails and a schoolgirl outfit because, again, I know even back then it could be seen as problematic, but definitely now it's seen as like it's weird.
And she's in a prison.
There's a term that people use, jailbait, which is not good. It's not kosher.
No.
That was Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Turbo Man movie.
Jingle All the Way. In the Turbo Man movie.
I don't know, Santa, something doesn't seem quite kosher.
Kosher.
So they both enter here, and there's another weird little tidbit behind the scenes. Noelle Parker was 17 when this movie was made.
Yeah.
And she's attractive.
Yeah.
She had to be given an adult liaison because, you know, to keep her away from some of the male crew members who got a little too friendly, which is very gross.
That's disgusting. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I read it on IMDb, which people can edit, but it doesn't surprise me.
No.
And it's disgusting.
Yeah.
But that's why it's even more odd and strange.
It's just kind of a weird choice.
Why
she couldn't be another task force agent and dress her in like a suit and like glasses.
Yeah.
She's
supposed to be like the mayor's niece.
Yeah.
Who's with Ernest's disguised character.
Yeah, yeah.
And she plays
again,
like
Ernest is not weird about
No. Like, and then the prisoners aren't making eyes at her.
No.
It's not treated as something weird. It's just
in a current context.
Yeah.
It's like this is
it's just
so
objectively
weird.
Like strange to think about like how potentially wrong a situation like this could go. But we're not gonna
anyway,
think about it, not gonna talk about it,
know
just
what I mean?
Saying objectively.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they both show up and she plays bratty like really well.
Yeah.
Like she's supposed to be like this brat who's like condescending.
Yeah.
And they see Santa Claus in there and is like, who is this man? Like, yeah. Stuff like this. And then, like, they take him. They're like, you know, we need to take him to the governor's office.
Yeah.
And then they walk out.
Yeah.
And that's a funny scene.
It's so when Ernest is in one of his characters, and then once he's like still dressed
mm-hmm.
as Astor Clement, but then he becomes Ernest again.
Yeah.
So it's like, I always equate it to like Spider-Man with like Peter Parker swinging around mm-hmm. out of the Spider-Man costume mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's humorous as well when we first see, like when we see him as Astor Clement and then Mayor's niece.
Yeah.
They walk in and they're talking to the police chief. And then before we see Ernest and Noel, or Ernest and Harmony
yeah.
come up to the prison cell where they're keeping all these people, we see Santa conducting the prisoners
yeah.
in the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
And then on the Partridge in a Pear Tree, we see him reach his arm out, like conducting, and we yeah. just hear somebody in another cell go, Partridge in a Pear Tree.
Yeah.
And then these hands come out. Yeah. Like, it's silly.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like this surreal.
It's
Ernest
a kid's
movies,
movie.
Yeah. The Ernest movies have a very, like, surreal quality to them,
yeah.
very absurd. There's a scene yeah. near the end to where, like, spoiler alert, elves. There's so much more to it.
Yeah.
Like the brother characters.
Chuck and Bobby. Who aren't Ernest. They're usually Ernest's friends
yeah.
in the Ernest movies. It's weird that they treat Ernest like a stranger in this
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. It's one of the, we see them, they work at the airport, and like these reindeer come in, and then they're supposed
yeah.
to be holding them for, Chuck says, for helper elms.
Yeah.
Because him and
Bobby's
Bobby like
elves. He's like, that's
M-V.
An M.
M-V. M-V. See, he says, Helper Elms. And then, like, Bobby does this, like, or Chuck does this, like, physical bit to where he, like, does this.
His eyes dart back and forth,
and he makes, like, a squealing noise.
Yeah.
So we go to them several times as well, dealing with the reindeer coming in, and then they encounter, like, the elves.
Yeah.
But another bit of kind of, like, subtle, surrealist, absurd humor is, like, near the end, when the elves come in, Ernest is like flying the sleigh, and they're flying by an FTD, like the flower company
yeah.
billboard, and they like fly past it and then they fly through it. And what's funny is in the billboard, the person on the billboard's holding flowers, but
yeah.
they fly right through the billboard, and we see Ernest have the flowers and just like
that,
throw them out of
yeah,
the way.
That's a funny
I was
bit.
Like, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Like a really, it's like a throwaway, absurd,
yeah.
surreal thing. But just in general, there's like these surrealist moments.
They're in outer space at one point. They're flying around mm-hmm. the globe, and like the sleigh pauses, and mm-hmm. Ernest is looking down at the earth.
Yeah.
I'm losing oxygen. No, no, me. I don't feel so good up here. No, no, me.
but essentially, it's this whole journey of
yeah.
Ernest and Noel, or in Noel
Harmony.
Parker and Harmony.
Yeah.
Ernest essentially trying to.
Yeah.
Jim Varney should call his autobiography essentially Ernest.
but
Ernest essentially trying to get Santa Claus
yeah.
to Joe Carruthers.
Yeah. And one thing I want to point out is the reason Harmony doesn't believe in Santa Claus anymore is Santa's like, she's been this way ever since I brought her a doll instead of a baseball mitt. I'm like, well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Santa, that's kind of shitty.
I was like, that's not on you.
Yeah.
You're supposed to like, unless it's something that could really hurt the kid, you're supposed
yeah.
to honor these
yeah.
requests.
I was like, just get her the baseball glove. She's not asking for a Rolls Royce
yeah.
or an AK-47.
Mm-hmm.
But because she's a girl,
yeah.
girls play with dolls. They
mm-hmm.
don't have baseball gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's on Santa. That's not
yeah,
on her.
Exactly. I was like, what's wrong with her having a baseball glove?
Exactly.
But anyway, I think that's a dumb way to be
yeah.
like, I know what's best for you. I'm your Santa.
I am your Santa.
Worship
me.
Exactly. And then eventually Santa... another character Ernest does is like the auntie character is like,
yeah.
I'll be dead soon.
He's dressed as an old woman. He's like,
yeah.
don't you, I'm here to see my son.
He's like, don't defend him, honey. There's nothing in it for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no money in
yeah.
it.
It's
yeah.
a really, really funny
yeah.
character. I think it's a really funny character.
Then they got to sneak into the studio and he's like, he's dressed as a guy, like a snake handler.
Uh-huh.
It's like,
I brought these snakes for
yeah.
the horror movies.
Like,
where's them horror movie folk?
Yeah.
Like, they got
pies in them.
Yeah, and
it's, one for you, boy.
Yeah, and it's Santa's like under a blanket, like shaking a maraca. Mm-hmm. To create, but then Santa goes in and Ernest is just waiting. Yeah. And they're like,
because they went to the agent's office to find out where Joe is.
Yeah, and they went to the studio to confront Joe. Mm-hmm. And Ernest is waiting there with his truck. And they're like, are you the snake guy? And he's like,
yeah, put him in back there.
He's like, all right, boys, put in there. Puts real snakes in there. One of my favorite. Ernest looks at him. He's like,
so yeah. I crack up every time.
He looks at the snakes. He looks at the snakes. He's like,
because he's scared.
But it's just so funny. But then, like, Santa ends up on like the movie set, like,
yeah.
I'm not like in the scene, but like on set,
yeah.
And he sees like what the movie is, and we see Joe. It ends up it's a horror movie with like this Gill Man, Creature from the Black Lagoon character coming in to terrorize kids on Christmas vacation, as the director says,
terrorize children.
And he punches the director
So like we see like Joe can't swear and he's like, I can't swear, they're kids here. And they're like, it's nothing, they haven't heard. And he's like, not from me.
Yeah.
Which is respectable.
It's noble.
I get it. Yeah, it's noble. I think it's a little much when Santa comes on. Okay, he's frustrated that you're messing with the innocence and integrity of Christmas by making something like this. He's never seen Silent Night, Deadly Nights 1 or 2.
No.
Garbage day.
Exactly.
Oh, there you are.
Oh,
there you are.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
He's so hammy. But
in Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
But then, like, all the director says is, you know, a Christmas sleigh. Like, it's about a monster who comes to terrorize children on Christmas vacation. And it's not like...
Terrorize children.
Yeah, it's not like Santa goes off fuming, huffing and puffing, like trying to gather himself. He punches the director, which I think is an overreaction.
I think he, instead of being unnecessarily put in prison for being a quote-unquote senile old man, he should get put in prison for assault.
Exactly. Yeah. And all Joe says, like the director's being walked off, like holding his eye or his nose, and the agent is like, I swear we never have met him, guys. I'm sorry. Like stuff like that. And Joe's like, let me talk to him, Marty. Like, see what he has to say. And that's when he tells Joe that, you know, you're the new Santa. And he's like, thanks, but no thanks. He's like, there's no guarantee with what you're talking about. This all sounds so far-fetched. And Santa's like, he's frustrated again. And then there's more with, like, the magic bag. Like, Harmony replaces it. And Santa, I think I mentioned earlier how there's so many opportunities for Santa to get people to believe in him.
Oh, yeah.
But he keeps fumbling it.
Yeah.
Like when he shows up at Joe's house, and the whole time he doesn't want Joe to shave or dye his hair, and he does. Which in the end of the movie...
What the hell are you doing?
Like, a beard forms on his face.
So it's like, so it wouldn't have been a big deal if he shaved.
Yeah, why are you upset?
Yeah.
And he brings it, and he's like, see, what do you... Like, he shows up at Joe's house, and Joe's like, you know, I have a meeting. Like, I have people who are willing to give me work. And he's like, you want to be Santa Claus? Like, what this bag? It's just feathers. He's like, I know it's feathers. And like before that, like Ernest was telling him, you might want to check the bag, Santa, because it was with Harmony the whole time. And he's like, you need to trust people, Ernest.
Yeah.
And he's
and
like,
Harmony
oh, okay.
took the bag because she realized, oh, this can give me whatever I want.
Riches.
And so
fortune.
She was going to go run. She was going to go to the train station, take a train out of Dodge with the magic bag and just basically create a new life for herself.
Exactly. And so she does that. She's off to the train station. Santa is downtrodden, as you would say. He's back at the Children's Museum because he told Joe, like, you know, shut your heart, Joe. You have to be back at the Children's Museum at 7. And, like,
7?
7. Have him officer, have him home by 7.
What about Bob?
Yeah. Great movie.
Yeah.
Not
Ernest Saves Christmas.
No, it is anxiety inducing for a lot of people, much like Ernest P. Worrell, but very funny.
Yes.
So essentially, Ernest finds his way to Ernest at the airport, and he runs into the elves, and then Santa sleigh is there.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets hazy for me, like the end, because Ernest,
it's all kind of a blur.
He's with Blurnest.
Blurnest.
but he's...
Blurnest Saves Christmas.
That's drunk Ernest is Blurnest. But Ernest is with the elves that show up and like, thanks, Skippy. Like they're entrenched, they're in overcoats and
they're very
sunglasses.
Mean to him.
Yeah, call him a doofus and an idiot.
Yeah,
and he's not any of those things.
Where are you going, numb nuts?
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Where are you going, slap nuts?
Exactly.
You goddamn hayseed. Yeah.
And he's not those things. but like, no, people say it under their breath.
Yeah, exactly.
But essentially, like, Ernest has the sleigh and he's going hog wild. Yeah. And, like, he's flying around. I'm like, we gotta get, Santa's not gonna like this. Just stuff like this. Because Ernest has encountered the elves first and the reindeer and all that stuff. Because he has to get the sleigh to Santa back to the Children's Museum. And eventually, like, Ernest, he takes it for a joyride with the elves and like, and eventually they end up back at the Children's Museum because like Joe shows up because Santa uses his magic at the Children's Museum to make it start snowing.
Yeah,
and like Joe is in a meeting with his agent, people who want to give him this horror movie that has sequels, it's work, it's money, and Joe's like, he really is Santa. Merry Christmas! And then he leaves.
Yeah. Merry Christmas! God bless us, everyone!
Yes.
And I say, God bless it!
But he runs out, and he shows up at the Children's Museum, and he's like, well, I thought you said there was going to be a sleigh. Just great.
Yeah.
Where's the sleigh? And then Ernest pulls up, and then Joe gets in, he turns into Santa. Harmony shows up, and it's a kind of a sweet moment to where like Joe or Santa's like, I know who you are. I knew you'd do the right thing.
I knew you'd come back, Pamela.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I was sitting there and like my body responded and I started tearing up. I was like, what the hell's going on?
I'm a sucker for anything like that, especially if the musical cue is there. But
I knew you'd come back,
Pamela. It's a morality thing, you know. It's like, knew you'd do the right thing. I know you're a little rough around the edges, but you got a good heart. And then like,
cockled life. You got a good life.
And then Joe's like, Joe is now Santa.
Yeah.
And Santa's just back to being old Seth Applewhite.
Whatever his name
Applegate.
Is.
Seth Applegate. But he's like, is there anything in my Santa contract that says I can't have a helper for one night? And Santa's like, not at all. And like, what about it? What do you say, Ernest? And like, Ernest, after having his little adventure, he always walks off with that like dour puppy dog face. He did the same. Oh God, I'm thinking about in Ernest Scared Stupid, where he's like, "There's nothing for me in that tree."
Yeah, when all the kids are turned back from wooden dolls, and
Ernest's
dog was turned into a wooden dog. He's like, "There's nothing for me in there." And then his dog Renshot comes out.
God, he's so convincing.
Yeah.
But like Ernest jumps in, he's like, Ernest P. Worrell. And he's like, down, da-da-da-da-da. Like, he, like, fluctuates his voice.
Yeah.
But he
and
gets
then
in
they
there.
They
let
Harmony
be, like, an assistant. So it's the elves, Harmony, Ernest, and Santa.
And
one of the bits is, like, he can't, like, Ernest gets all the reindeer right except Blitzen.
Yeah.
And then as they fly off, Billy Bird and Santa Claus are walking off, and she's like, my name's Mary Morrison. He's like, well, at one time, I was Seth Applegate. Yeah. And then they go off to, slap their elderly bodies together.
Yeah, I was going to say, you hear as the credits come in, I might be 150, but my tool still works.
Yes. Which my thing is, according to the logic from the Santa Claus movie with Tim Allen, another Disney film.
Yeah.
This was Disney adjacent.
Yeah.
But once the Santa powers transition, Santa
dies.
Disappears.
Dissipates. Yeah.
He's gone, baby.
Yeah.
So I guess him being
dissipates into Christmas spirit.
Wouldn't that circle of magical protection around his 151-year-old body and 151-year-old brain, wouldn't that fall away? He's no longer protected.
Oh, sure.
Or maybe it's like a retirement plan or you have tenure. So, like people who play in the NFL, like, I guess.
Not Grandpa. Santa has CTE. That's what it is.
Sorry.
Grandpa's got CTE. Yeah,
he's got CTE. No, but like people who like are protected by like a players union in a sport, and they almost forever have the insurance, even if they haven't played in 15 years.
That makes sense.
So maybe he has Yuletide Insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you should start an insurance company.
How many former Santa Claus are still on the earth, though? If that's the case,
it's a good question.
When does he die? When does his body start degenerating?
Just waiting for Santa to die.
Waiting for Santa to die. Broadway is dark tonight. But essentially, they walk off and to do God knows what. Yeah. Nobody wants to know. But that's Ernest Saves Christmas.
Ernest Saves Christmas. He saved Christmas.
Maybe
a
we
fun Christmas movie.
Maybe we just saved you some time from watching it.
Yeah.
But I would suggest if you either watch some of the Ernest movies growing up, you have a passing familiarity. Yeah.
It's not a movie that just has Christmas in it. It is a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's not the Home Alones. It's not, you know, it's not the Christmas stories.
Yeah.
It's not Christmas Vacation, but it's a fun, innocent, charming Christmas movie that I love. It's great.
Yep.
And I hope if any of you want to check it out, it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Go give it a watch. It's an hour and 32 minutes. It's a pretty quick watch.
Yeah.
But thank you all for listening.
Yes, thank you.
As always, thank you so much. Next week, we, of course, have another Christmas-themed episode. Mm-hmm. But until then,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.